Started at Turraway, North West London, Thursday, 24th of Sivan, 23rd of June. The Vaidichka Rebbe, Reina Rebbe Zalman Rothschlitter, Tchelis and Tzitzis, why not? This week's Torah was sponsored by Family Kirsch, Lil Nishmas, Rabbi Shai Nochem, Ben Avram, Goschuk, Zachron, Rocha, the Ziyad site is on Shabbos.
Thank you very much. I must say that this morning, as I was thinking it through, I realized that we may not be able to cover everything which I wanted to discuss in the shir today. And perhaps if I feel that there's still a lot to be said, maybe there'll be another shir to cover the rest. The topic I want to discuss is the mitzvah of Techeles. This week's parsha, we learn it in the Torah, the end of the parsha of Tzitzis. Dabel b'nai esuah v'matu alayim v'usilhem tzitzis al kampa migdayim. At the edges of our clothing, we must have tzitzis. And then the Torah adds, v'nosni al tzitzis akuna p'sil t'chayles. You also have to put a p'sil t'chayles. Perhaps we'll get to talk in the future how much t'chayles it is. One of four strings, one of eight, which is to say a half of the p'sil. Perhaps two and two. So you end up having four of eight. Different shittas from the Rishonim. But nevertheless, it's an undeniable fact that one has to have a chiyuv to put on techeiles. Now, we know now that there are various candidates which are known today to be the possible chiluzon to which the term referred, of which the techeiles has to be derived from. And there are indeed tamei chachamim, you see, yidden in general who wear techeiles. But how could it be that if it is Esem and HaTorah, where there's perhaps only a suffix, a possibility, maybe this is the correct candidate for Techeles, where Alpidin, we'll talk about it in the Hemshech, but Etzem, a person can color the strings whatever color you want. If you want to color them green one day or red, it's not a Pidam. So why shouldn't we do it just in case? But it's Esem and HaTorah. And the Goy Sechid is...
Can I have colored tzitzis?
What?
Can I have
colored tzitzis? You can. We'll touch upon it, but Etzem Yaz, the Rambam writes Beferish. The Rambam writes, do not use colors which are too similar to Techeles, because that's not okay. But if a person uses bright orange, yeah. We live in a generation where every minig, people in Makayim, I remember, I was married, I went to live in Eretz Yisrael, and I lived in Gan Geula. And the buildings are set up in such a way that there's various entrances. You have an entrance from the chenyon, from the car park, and then you have an entrance, so like what's called from the streets, and then each building has its own entrance, each floor has its own entrance. It's very cellular. And I was on the bus to Mir, and Iman tells me, how do you manage to tzinchanekalech? And I said to him, go over, make a brocha, you know, he says, no, you don't get it. He lights at the entrance of the chenyon, at the entrance in the chenyon itself, that each building as you go into the core, at the top of the entrance on the street, at the entrance to his floor, at the door, because that's what his father does, and at the window. And being that he's trying to mark petit light by the shkia, he has, and it's a short, not just by 30 minutes, he has 30 minutes to get that entire operation done. How, he tells me. How do you get it done? There's examples of small mitzvahs. People, and rightly so, mahadav mitzvahs in an amazing way for every prat and prat and prat. Hadas and aleph, 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 aleph. So how can it be that a mitzvah and a Torah like Techeiles, when it's so much has been done and written about it, why shouldn't we try? It's a ken shatan, im lo yoye lo yazik. Nothing to lose.
That's right.
Yeah. So Fabus, so and the kasha is not just in Klal Yisrael. We're talking about Gedol HaPoskim. Ever since Techeiles was first discussed, as we'll talk in a minute, 140 years ago, we didn't see one gudel say Zazan Fakert. They either quiet or discouraged. It was pshat. So to understand that, we have to first be makdim the shtalshel sadvurim, the timeline and how it came about. Indeed, we have some candidates today for the chiluzon of which we can derive the techeiles, and perhaps then we can come back and say why we're talking that noyim. Now, I want to say something in advance. sometimes the kasha is best to be the teretz. Yeah. Whatever you're going to say, so the halzai shayt a fresh time. But nevertheless, the combination of answers, hopefully as a puzzle, will put together to show that, like taking it all as a package, it can make sense why, despite everything, the Rav Machri of Klal Yisrael and the Rav of the Gedol Yisrael are not noyeg. So, Tufresh Mem Zayin, 1887, the Razin Rebbe Gershon Heinrich Leiner, he was then 47 years old, he wrote a sefer. The sefer was called Sefune Temune Chol, Sefina Temune Chol.
1887.
In 1887. When was he what?
Where was he?
He was living in Poland. And he wrote the Sefer, which was sort of, it came as a shock, because he had been thinking about it for a long time, and he decided to go through Chazal and to collect from every single place he can find what are the characteristics of the Chalazim. Chazal say many things. Oil achas shem shunut, only seen once in 70 years. Its body isn't that shape. Its blood is kept in a particular way. We can bring rise from Chazal talking in Masechta Shabbos about Tzedas Chiluzim on Shabbos. We can derive certain aspects. We can see certain things from Klei Amigdash. The Rambam says certain things. He collected it all. Yerushalmi, Blavi, Zichut HaSefta, no computers, but his Bekis was Ein L'Shayer. He was able to put together, effectively, a checklist. And then he was Marich in the Sefer Barichis on the principle Shavoy, that one can find them even though it was lost, and that we have a Chiv to look for it. And he goes through it tremendously, with a tremendous amount of passion as well, saying, we have to do this. We can bring it back and we have to do it. Tighten the Torah, how can we abandon a mitzvah like that? And towards the end of his sefer, he settles upon a family of fish, specifically the squids, and he says, here's where we're going to find it, in the squids. And then he comes up with a theory that the cuttlefish, which is a type of squid, and please, I apologize to all the marine biologists, there are very technical terms, I say squid in the colloquial term, which is to say, it looks like a squid, and indeed it is a squid, but the cuttlefish, and he said, I think the cuttlefish contains many or most or all of what we need in order to identify this as the chiluzim. And he prints the sefer. And of course, as a prince, it's like a bombshell. Can you find the mitzvah which was lost? Is it takim nignaz? Is it for us to do? And if it is so, what is the chiv of it? But he didn't stop with the sefer. He moved to Italy. He lived in Italy to close for a year. And he was extremely intelligent. He was a genius by all accounts. He spoke most European languages, both current and ancient. He spoke and read fluently Latin, Italian, French, German, archaic Greek. He was a genius. And based on his knowledge, both of the ancient world and the current world, he spent a lot of time on the Adriatic coast. And he decided that he's going to check, try to find that fish. Now, I want to say something. The Balat Chaylis, the Radzin Rebbe, was no stranger to controversy. Because when he was 33 years old, Mamashin Gaman, his father, was still alive. He decided that being that we have a Gemurah on Moyed, Nushim, Nezikin, and Kudushim, but we have no Gemurah for Sayyidat Taharis, besides Mesechus Nedir. So he was Malakit from all Chazal, everything which he can find, he started with Mesechus Kelim. He found Mamur Chazal and Bavli Yerushalmi Sefer Sefer everywhere. He then amalgamated and weaved it into this beautiful tapestry like a fresh Gemurah. Kashas, Teritzim, Sigyas divided. Wrote like a Perish Rashi to explain it all. Wrote a Tosfos to be Mefalpen it. It's a tremendous work. He knew it would be controversial, so he went in advance to Gedolei Yisrael, like it was a Shaul Natanz on the Shaila Maishiv, Rabbi Yitzchak Chunon. He traveled to Hungary to meet the Meir Rabbonim everywhere in the world. He thought he was protected, but he obviously wasn't. And he printed this Gemura and straight away started, are we allowed to do it? Are we not allowed to do it? Is it okay to make a new Gemura? And he fought his battle. He gave it the second one. It was he was somebody who understood how to deal with controversy, but I don't think he was prepared for what happened with the Chaylis. So after a year in Italy, during which time he did every effort to visit the Vatican in an attempt to find some sort of similar old Chaylis, so that he can compare it to his various findings to see how the color matches up. And what he succeeded in that, I don't know. Rabbi Aaron Marcus, who otherwise is mostly reliable, writes that he spoke to somebody who was with him in the Vatican, and that they actually found a tzitz. The tzitz has a psil t'chailis, as the Torah tells us. And from that he was able to see the shade of color that existed, Without going into detail, he was miyashar with seeing that sit, the machlokes, the chazal, how was it written, kodesh l'Hashem, on two levels and on one level, and he came to some sort of conclusion. And many other stories were told about that time there. One interesting story which was given over by his anacle was that when he came out, he fainted. So somebody said, why did he faint? They thought perhaps, having seen something from the Kli HaMikdash, it was hard to see how it's B'yad Zurim. And he said, no, it wasn't that, because he's much more practical. He said, when I passed by the Pererchis, he saw an element of it, I was so overwhelmed that I forgot actually to look at the Techeles in it. And he fainted because he was focused on the Kedusha, on the amazement of the Pererchis, rather than zeroing in on the actual color which he had come to see, because the Pererchis also had Techeles in it. Whether he was there or not is neither here nor there. When he came out of Italy, he was certain that the cuttlefish is the right fish, because he had spent many months training himself in chemistry. Once he identified that this is the right chilozon, now you have to know how do you actually produce the color out of it, the dye. How do you actually dye the wool? And he learned. And he came back to Poland, and in 1848, a year later, Turfash Memches wrote another sefer, Psel Tachelis. And this is all about the where he confirms his identification, talks about the practical aspect of how he goes about it, and says, I'm here and ready and able. Whoever wants can come, I'll teach him how to do it. This is no secret at all. I have nothing to hide. And everybody, I'll sell, and I'm willing to sell this to Chilas.
I'm sorry, you're still talking about the squid now, yeah?
The same squid.
Not what they found later.
Yours, but not there yet. So this is all about the squid, the cuttlefish squid. That's a fancy name, but it's colloquially known as the cuttlefish. Now, he was heartbroken because he was certain that the whole of Klal Yisrael will come running and saying, we can become mitzvah in a Torah, a new mitzvah. And that didn't happen. Aside from his own chassidim, which were many, and Breslover chassidim, who had a kabbalah from Reb Nachman Breslover, that Tufresh Memches will be some sort of symbol of the Geula, and being that was the Yishnas Terachim, Tufresh Memches, when this Tchelis was discovered, they felt that was true, and the Malik B'chassidim Breslover at the time, Reb Nachman, the son of Reb Nachman Tulchiner, was... He told Chassidim Breslov to wear Techeles. Until this very day, the majority of Breslov Chassidim wear Techeles because of that thing that they had a couple of, that the year that he found the Techeles is a year that something will come which will make us to the Gila, which they felt the Techeles was the right source. But otherwise, the majority of Chassidim didn't take it on. He was heartbroken. He wrote everywhere. And Sitkis was at the scene of the moment was Ein L'Shayer because he had a lot of information which he could have shared, which would have furthered his goal. But in Ivakat, he didn't want to do it. And I do not know whether it's connected or not. But ultimately, 2.5 years later, at the tender age of 51, he passed away, heartbroken, not having succeeded in his mission to further the Techeles across the whole of Klal Yisrael. Shortly after he was Nifter, his son printed his third sefer, the third and final sefer of Techeles, called Ein HaTecheles, because he wrote in a big box at the beginning of the second sefer, if you think I'm wrong, come and disprove me and I will publicly renounce it. I'll publicly recant, I'll say I made a mistake. So people sent him letters. And the third sefer is an attempt to answer all these questions, which he does to a large extent. And then he writes a fascinating figure that by that time, 2 years after the Techeles was discovered, he had sold 15,000 talisim with Techeles.
Mm-hmm. And that's before 1900?
This is in 1848, imagine. And he writes, he had a tremendous amount of correspondence, and he was nifter. Sadly for him, it was nisbar that many Gedol Yisrael secretly did wear Techeles. When the Maharsham was nifted, Tufresh Ayin Aleph, in 1911, they opened this tzavua in which he said, I'd like to be buried in my talis, the Techeles one, which I wore daily. And no one knew that the Maharsham did that. In fact, there's a tremendous letter, and I made reference to that before, which was only printed many, many years later, when Rebbe Yitzchak Chunin writes to the Ratzin Rebbe. I want to read a few lines because you see what a tzaddik he was, because if I had such a letter and I were trying to further the Techeles, I'd publish it, and he didn't. And he writes like this, I'm with you. The Eloi Achzekat Chalas LeMitzvah. If I wasn't considering the Chalas LeMitzvah, Lo Yisi Machnas Atzmi Klal B'Zeh. What is he referring to? The Yitzchak Chunin was asked the question. Somebody who asked him long before the Maharsham, someone who asked to be buried in Talas of Chalas, do we listen to him or do we ignore him? And he paskin, yes. If he wore Chalas in his lifetime, you bury him in the Chalas. So he writes to the Radzin Rebbe, if I wouldn't think it's a mitzvah, I wouldn't put myself into it. So you may ask, why don't I come out publicly? In fact, the Yitzchak Chunin are publicly against the Chalas. So listen to this. I'm now in the middle of a dvar mitzvah. Something which is negai to bekiyach nefesh klal yisrul. In order to achieve my goal, I must show a smiling face to everybody. Kedai Shiyid Devurim, the Shmuim Eslam, so everyone should listen to me. Below Yamdi and Sutil Negdi, the student and student chant against me. It be in Yenze, in this thing, Shani Oymid Boy, which I'm Isaac, Lo Yamad and Negdi, a Fili Chilul Shabbos. Even Chilul Shabbos will stand in my way. The college can betum it's a sasai, in Avad and Avad, betum it's a sasai. So he seems to say, I'm doing something now which I could not be a controversial figure to do that. I don't know what it was. And therefore, despite the fact that I think that what you're doing is correct, even Chilul Shabbos wouldn't stand in my way. I'd be over Shabbos to do what I have to achieve. And college from college cannot be Mavatam it's a sasai of Techetz. And again, think about it. Here he is attacked from all sides, and the good Lador, the biggest Poisek, tells him, I'm with you, but I can't do it publicly because I have an issue. And he keeps the letter and doesn't publish it.
It's a Ochanan.
Specter, yeah. The governor of.
The
premier Litvish Poisek.
Well, what was he?
He was masked with the Ladin Rebbe, and yet did not. They didn't want to go out because he felt that he had to maintain sort of a non-controversial view for a reason that he was Oisik on that. But like I said, most of the time he saw...
No, just trying to... Don't they cut the tits off when they marry somebody and tell us?
Yes, but the talis... No, you're right, but tell us that you were... Like, he picked his... A person can have a shabbat pass and a media talis. Which talis is the person pick? One which... If you have a preference, one which is more meaningful, the Maharsham picked the one which was zeichet to be mekayim mitzvah chalis.
Corner something. No?
I don't know what she's to say, but one of the premier rabbonim in Golders Green, who's not with us anymore, he had a pair of tzitzis of tchilas which he wore from time to time. He and his family were always worried that someone will catch him with it and think that this is a real rabbim, but he wouldn't give it up. He wouldn't give it up. He would erev Yom Kippur certain days. He would wear his. Tzitzis of but the tzitzis of Tchelis very well hidden away. And indeed, many of the so through generations did that, but never publicly. But the story did not finish here. And as you intimated earlier, indeed, Yitzhak Isaac Herzog was the future chief rabbi of Ireland, then of Israel. When he was young, before he was married, he wrote a doctorate on this topic. He had to write his doctorate, and he picked his thesis to be on the topic of Techeles. Now, let's be clear, because it'll come in a moment. Rav Herzog was not talking about the practical application of Techeles at all. All his life, he was never Oisik in trying to produce a Techeles. But nevertheless, academically, he was looking to find what is the Techeles, and what is the Baal Chai of which Techeles is derived from. And he picked another one of the squid family, called the Yantina. And he thought that it was much more suitable to be the Techeles rather than the cuttlefish which Radziner found. He argues with Radziner. Radziner wasn't alive anymore, obviously. And he has many kashas on him. And he decided this is the right animal. Just recently, about 10 years ago, a movement started in Eretz Yisrael to try to produce Techeles from the Antina. It actually produces a beautiful hue, a gorgeous color of Techeles. The problem is that it does not stand. So the wool absorbs it, it lasts about 2-3 weeks, and then it dissipates. This may be a kash on the techeles of the Rav Herzog, or perhaps something is missing in the process of dying. Remember that I told you before that the Radziner Rebbe spent almost a year just once he identified the techeles to study and come up with a method of how you actually die. These things are not connected. And yet, we're not finished yet. 60 years ago, among academic circles, it became clear to them that the correct identity of Techeles is not a squid, but rather sort of a sea snail known as the Murex trunculus, and that is the Techeles. Now, the chiddush of the Murex is that it has been used to dye wool for thousands of years. And wherever you go in the Mediterranean basin, you can see the shells of the Murex of ancient snails which we used. But the problem was that all along, the color which comes out of that is purple. The Romans, which always used to dye, the aristocracy in Rome used purple in their robes, came from the Murex. But about, I think it was Tovshim Amches, 1988 to 1987, his commission at the show was working on it, and almost by accident discovered that if you expose the dam chelos into the sun, and then dye the wool, you get tcheles. And this Murex has many things going for it. It spread across the entire world. And the majority of people that wear techeles today use the techeles which are derived from the Murex. Ramon Shapira used to be critical and say something, which we'll touch upon later, Be'ez Hashem, that the difference between the Murex and the Radziner's techeles is they end up in the same place, meaning in terms of what they're trying to find, but they start at different places. The Radziner Rebbe collected all the simonim chazal of what the techeles is supposed to look like. He had a list, And then he checked the science of which animals would match that checklist. The Murex is the other way around. It was selected because scientifically and historically it makes more sense. And then it was checked against Mamur Chazal to see whether it matches. And we're not, we're trying to be pushed and shoehorned into it. And Ramesh was critical of that process of how the Murex was found. And we know today there are many known Pasukim, like Apsarai de Wilaitsky, Rav Belsky from America, famously Rav Nechemi Goldberg, the item from Shlomo Zalman, and many others who publicly read the Chayilis, and some of them even encouraged the Talmidim, and yet it hasn't spread across the whole world. So now we have to understand why. We have three decent candidates, some of them amazing candidates, for the Chayilis. And despite all that, embarrassingly, no Chayilis. Anybody here has Chayilis? That's Pshat. So the reasons that we can approach come in three sorts. And today we'll certainly only be able to touch upon the first type. I'm not even sure all of them. One is that we can try to raise enough doubts about the identity of Techeles to say that it's not even considered to be a credible suffix that you have to be choshesh for it. Can we have anything in the Torah? Sometimes you have a das yuchid. You find in the Gemurah Shittah. Do you have to be choshesh for that? There has to be some sort of level, you have to cross a certain barrier to say that it's good enough that now I have to be chosh. So that's one type of teretz that we can touch upon. The second is, even if we're to say that it's a strong sofek, akur levadai, there should be a reason why we don't have to be chosh for it, even if we can identify it. It's hard to say that. And the third, perhaps most interesting, that I said earlier, im la yoy lo yazik, what does it harm? We can find reasons that it does harm. So al atzad, that it's not a direct tchelis, it is worse than coloring the tchelis with orange or purple or green. It's worse.
Why is it worse?
We shall see. So I'm only focusing on the first one, and I'll say that clearly the Chazon Ish took that approach because three people heard from him the similar thing when they asked him this question. Im lo yoy lo yazik, what does it harm? You can put it on. He said that in Kosovo, the town that he grew up in, there was a person who needed desperately reading glasses, but he couldn't afford them. And one day, lo and behold, he found a pair of glasses. They were missing the actual glass, but he had a frame. And he wore it because he said, Im lo yoyil, lo yazik. And what the Chazon Ish was trying to say, besides from sharing this funny anecdote, was that lo yoyil, lo yazik has to have some substance to it. You can't just say, Fabosnish. And this is the first type which we're going to focus on, the things that sort of undermine the substantive identification. And like I said, we'll hopefully go through the first chalik, we'll see. The first thing is that the tzad hashel, the one thing which all three types of chalazon have in common is, they're all not kosher. Not one of them. So not the murex, nor the cuttlefish, nor the antenna, they're all not kosher. And the chidur writes in the cipher to Ayin, he's marach to be mevayr that everything used in the mishkan had to be min amita b'fichu, something which you're allowed to eat. Rav Eliyashiv in the Zabrusa Masech HaShabbos has the same thing. He brings a raya from Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar, Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar, who writes that the telash shuni was not actually what we use for coloring, was not the actual worm, but rather the leaves upon which it sits, and therefore it colors by its being on it, and the leaf which is kosher, then you use the color, but you couldn't use telash shuni because it's not kosher, it's a pashtus. And therefore, if that is the case, clearly we haven't found the right one yet, because the chenis which was used in the Mishkan would have to be derived from an animal which is kosher. Now, we don't know of a kosher animal which has all these simulim of chazal. But nevertheless, the ones that were supposedly found wouldn't match this important criteria if that indeed is ma'akiv, as according to this.
Like honey is coming from no kosher thing and you can use it.
What is that?
Honey.
Yes, but honey was not used in the Melechas HaMishkan. So if we use Mesa Mikdash, and you couldn't use it because it's Vashi don't bring in, it's sweet things, fruits, what?
Tachash was kosher.
The Tachash was most probably kosher. We don't know what it was, but it was clearly it was a one-off. But it's a little heavy that it was a kosher animal.
Marcus
Price. What?
It was a seal skin.
We don't know.
Yes.
Some say a unicorn. Is a unicorn kosher? I don't know.
Unicorn, yeah.
Yeah. And the Shami says it was chat karne, had one horn. Rebbe Mechel Tikuchinsky in the Sefer Ura HaKodesh HaMikdash, I think it says really more in the Rambam beforehand. Not much Rambam says it's beferish, but I'll quote the Rambam's Lushan. And Rambam said this, we don't have the Tchelis, he writes in Perish HaBashnayis HaMenochas. We do not have the Tchelis, why is that? If we Sha'ayin Unu Yodim, we do not know, Letzavoy, why? Sha'ayin Kol Gevan Tchelis B'tzei Menikot Tchelis. The color of the Tchelis is not clear to us what exactly is the Tchelis referred to when we say the word Tchelis. Now this is obvious even to our own eyes, because if you compare the three techeles, I can see in a second which is which. The differences in the hue, in the shade of blue, is so obvious that you're not going to mistake one for the other. That's even within techeles itself. But more than that, in the Rishonim we find references that the shades of techeles are very wide ranging. For instance, Rashi in Shemois and also Mamibur in two places, as well as Mashma for the Gemur in Bruchas, in Daftes, Rashi says it again in Bruchas Afni in Zion, and even in Yerushalmi, which I'll quote in a second, says that the techeles is yurik, green. I want to touch upon it the previous year. Now, whilst I do not think Rashi means to say green as in green, green, but Rashi is certainly saying that the blue that we're talking about is much closer to the range of green, what you call today aqua blue, or other colors along that range, closer to the green. Yerushalmi says, as the famous Chazal is brought up many times, T'chal is doim l'rikia, rikia doim l'yam. And then Yerushalmi asks something else, V'yam doim l'asuvim. And yam is doim to the grass. Which clearly indicates that the blue we're talking about is like the foamy green.
Yeah.
Like the blue which you see sometimes on the ocean, but it's much closer to the green. So that's one side of things. We then have the Rambam and Chassidus, which I mentioned before in passing, and I'll explain better what I meant to say by that. Rambam says in Parag Bais that a person is allowed to color his tzitzis any color he wants, he says, but not all colors. Lemushal what not? Black. Because black is too similar to techeles. And Rashi, this expansion says the same thing. That the techeles we're talking about is doimel hashchur serekia, like when it gets dark at night, that sort of very deep blue, like a black blue, that is what the techeles is talking about. Atke dekach, that it's too similar to black, that if you had black strings in your tzitzis, you'd say to yourself that it's too doimel to the techeles. Marie Kurkus says in Parak Ches Mechaz Klai Kolei Zamikdash that it's blue which is mixed with red. What do we call that today? Purple. Blue mixed with red is purple. And in fact, remember what I told you earlier, that the murex, in fact, without exposure to sun, it produces a purple hue. Then Tosfos Achilin says that it's the indigo, which is a proper blue. And then Tosfos Achilin brings the Pashtus Mekibel, that Yisachayde, that Techeles is a light blue color, which indeed is the colors which we see from most of the Techeles we have today. So if we have such a wide range coming from the greeny blue through the very, up until the very dark blue, with indigo in the middle, and purple, how can we identify the techeles prior to having the our color set? Surely, we first must know what the color is, and then see whether any of the fish which we found matches that color. You cannot come forward and say, this is all the samunim, and what is the color? Well, obviously, it's this color, because this is what it produces, when there's such a wide range in the Rishonim, what the color actually is. So a very critical step seems to have been missed in terms of starting first from what we must find a match to. And indeed, this is what apparently the Balat Chalas was trying to do when he visited the Vatican to try to find the sample. How successful it was, I do not know. But without that sample, it's very hard from antiquity, from the time of the Beis HaMikdash, it would be hard for us to say what Chalas should look like altogether. Perhaps in 2 more minutes, we'll touch upon one more sibah of that. And as I said, if the audience is interested, we can continue another time. The existence of all three Techeles in itself is a problem. Because each one of those, you know, there's a famous vart, it's not so nice to repeat, Abba Mazukta, the Miskruv once said that he's like all Hasidim plus one Rebbe. Every chusid thing is that all the Rebbes are not Bisid Aftazan besides his Rebbe. He is like all of them, and he also adds that one Rebbe as well. The problem with the Techeles is that every Tzad believes that the other ones is completely false, does not make any sense at all, and many kashas on them. The one that they're purporting to be is the correct one. And the other Tzad says exactly that. In recent years, in fact, it became fashionable up until about 5 years ago to mazazn the chalas of the Razinir. He got it all wrong, it doesn't make sense. But now there's a reversal. A lot of work was done, as Rav Moshe Shapir intimated, to show that, hold on a minute, he was a much bigger Talmud Chacham than any of the ones who came after him, and a genius, and did so much work, deep work on it. And there's been a revival in trying to justify the squid to say. Rabbi Morgenstern, for instance, has done a lot of independent work, and he's come to the conclusion that Rav Herzog's one is the absolute correct one. He himself wears the murex for lack of choice, but he says if only somebody could find a way to create a U which could withstand washing and would survive, this is for sure the right one. And I have in front of me here a chart of all the simonim of Chazal that they gave us to identify the chaluzim. And in fact, you see that the Razina's one matches almost every single one, because he went through one by one. It's doim eladag, which is not true for the case of the snail. It has a mim which makes it look like a snake. It has no arms. it spits its own blood, various things, goes on and on, its blood is kept in a separate pouch, and so on and so forth. And therefore, whilst, without going into the sugya, it looks like we have relatively good candidates, but in looking at much closer, it looks a bit like the glasses without the actual glass. Because there are so many kashas that you just cannot make it work, the puzzle doesn't fit at all. And I'll finish with this point, we'll have to come back to it. There's been actually new candidates discovered, the giant squid, which was considered a myth in the times of the Balat Chalas. Only in 2004, the first time when a picture was taken in natural habitat. The massive giant squid, for thousands of years, people spoke about it like a sea monster, which could be as big as 50 feet wide, has been put forward as a new candidate for the Chalas. It is the only one that matches the Simon of Chazal, Oil Achat Hashem Shunu, that you actually never see it, it's rare to find. All the rest of them are very common. You can find them anywhere in the Mediterranean Ocean. So therefore, so much work still needs to be done. And has not been done, that what we call today the identification is really, we just scratched the surface, and therefore, Gedolei Yisrael, not that they need Maya Skoma, but it's obvious that when they looked at it carefully, they realized that we're so far from identification, that we're not even in the gate of a suffocate. Much more to be said, but thank you for your time today.